sitting here at your table where you study in Milwaukee, and your wife tells me that you've set your recording machine already and you want me to record my testimony. Something about where I came from, what I've been doing, where I've been, and where I'm going. Well, I want you to know that my present position, my citizenship is in heaven, and I'm looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and change this body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned back unto his body of glory. Now, many people have asked me if my middle initial is Calvin, John Calvin O'Hare. And many of them think from my theology that my middle name ought to be Calvin. But my middle name is Cowan. Mr. Cowan was my step-grandfather, that is, he was the stepfather of my mother. My mother's father's name was Kennedy, and she was born as Lizzie Caroline Kennedy. And way back, several years before I was born, they were married in Memphis, Tennessee, about 1872 or 71. And they moved to Little Rock in Arkansas in 1873. And the first of our 12 children was my older sister, who is still alive and lives in Austin, Texas. Then an older brother, then I was the third of the 12 children. We were 6 boys and 6 girls. And the family lived, for more than 30 years on the corner of 4th and Izzard in Little Rock, Arkansas. The house where I was born, 313 Izzard Street in Little Rock, is still standing. And when I moved first to the area of Chicago, I was in Oak Park, and the number of our house there was 313. And now I'm living in Evanston at 313 Wesley Avenue. And as you know, I have been pastor of the North Shore Church at Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue since the 17th day of July, 1923. Perhaps you heard the story of the young man who took a new position in London, and he was being asked by the personnel man, said to him, "George, where were you born?" He said, "Sir, I was born in Edinburgh and Glasgow." And he said, "You didn't understand my subject, my question." And he said, "Where were you born?" And he answered again, "In Edinburgh and Glasgow." He said, "Now, George, we don't want any smart alecks around here. Answer this question." "Well, sir," he said, "I was born of my mother and father in Edinburgh. I was born again in Glasgow before I came here to London to go to work. Well, I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas on the 31st day of December, 1876. I was born again right at the beginning of the 20th century, right before my birthday, my 23rd birthday, in 1899. I went to this little town in August, 1898, about 130 miles south of Shreveport, Louisiana. I went there from Kansas City, Missouri, to be an auditor for the Central Coal and Coke Company at their large lumber mill there at Neem or Keith, Louisiana, about 8 miles south of Leesburg and right same number of miles north of DeRidder. And there I had the wonderful experience of passing out of death into life through faith in a crucified and resurrected Christ. And I spent 22 years in Little Rock. I went to school there 14 years, having finished high school and business college. And when I had finished school and business college at the age of 19, I went to work in a law firm where there were the two members of the firm were Jews. And one of them was my neighbor and a real friend of mine. And he went down to Monroe, Louisiana, where he did some work, stenographic work, and stayed there for 3 months. And I had changed from the law office to an insurance company, where I worked for 2 years in Little Rock. And when he came back, he said, "How would you like to go down to Monroe, Louisiana, and go in the lumber business?" Well, after he told me about the beautiful place down there and the wonderful people that he'd worked for, I said, "I believe I'll try it." So he wrote to them, and I went down in the, when I was 22 years of age. No, at that time, not quite 22, I went down to Monroe, Louisiana. And the lumber company went out of business a few months after I went down there. I didn't put it out of business. They just went out of business because that at that time we had a depression. And I went from there to Kansas City, Missouri. There was one of the officers in the lumber company at Monroe asked me to go to Kansas City. And I also met there the bookkeeper who had been an auditor for many years for the Williamette Credit Company in New York City. He was a wonderful, wonderful accountant. And I went on to Kansas City, and when I got up there, I went to work for the Daily Drover's Telegram. Mr. George Neff, who later became mayor of the city of Kansas City, asked me to remain with him. But my friend, who moved from Monroe down to Neene, where I was staying, wrote me and asked me to come down and work with him. So in the year of the Spanish-American War in 1898, on the 31st day of August, I reached that little town of Neene. And leaving a wonderful city that is a large city like Kansas City, I became very lonely there, and I wondered why I had ever done such a thing. Why did I leave Kansas City and go down to that place where the train didn't even stop? There was only one store there and a post office, and not very many houses at that time. The plant was new, but I learned later on, or just about 8 months after I arrived there, a young lady arrived there, the lady who later became my wife. Her father was the superintendent of the logging and the railroad there. And after I'd been for some months at the hotel there, one of the hotels, we moved to another hotel. And I want you to know that at that time, I'm not proud of it, not boasting, but I was an ungodly, ruined, immoral, a lost sinner. And I was living in sin. And when I went over to this new boarding house the first day, we had to wait a little while for our meal. And I was pacing around the floor, and the lady said, "Sit down and calm yourself." She said, "Read something." I said, "What do I read?" And she says, "Read this book, the Bible." Well, as he had it opened at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As I look back, though I was 23 years of age, I could not have quoted one single verse in the Bible. But I read that story, and I came back the next day, and I read about Daniel in the lion's den. Then I asked her if I could borrow the Bible and take it over to my room. And she said, "If you're interested in this story, come up to the little Sunday school, a country Sunday school, next Sunday." And she said, "I'll introduce you to a nice young lady." Said, and the preacher there is teaching the Book of Daniel, and you'd be very much interested in hearing him. I'll never forget him with his piercing eyes, his gray hair, his long beard that seemed to me about 12 or 14 inches long. And you know, that man left his home Friday noon every year, every week, or he came every 2 weeks to this place, and he walked most of the distance. And I remember he used to get about $6 to $8 in his offering. But my, he was a real prophet of God. He was a man of God with a real message, and I'll never forget the first time I heard him. And the next Sunday, I went out to the Anacoka River. That was near there. And I went out with a friend of mine, and I was on the largest mule we had there in the mule yard. He's about 17 and a half hands high. And I had a six shooter. And we went out to the Anacoka River to shoot alligators and to get some wild magnolias. And we accomplished our mission. We killed several of the small alligators there. I got up and got a few of the magnolias. And then when we went back home, this young lady to whom I was to be introduced was standing at the gate. And the man that was with me said, "Come over here and I'll introduce you to a lady." So we went over to the gate, and he introduced me, and I gave her a couple of the magnolias. And she was the young lady whom I was to be introduced by the hotel proprietor, the lady who was going to introduce me. Well, within a few weeks from that time, when I was reading the Bible, and then this young lady gave her testimony, I heard her sing it, and heard her give her testimony. And then I went home, and one night I was reading the Bible. And while I was reading the Bible, I got under deep conviction. I knew I was a sinner all the time. I cried many times over my sin. You know, when I was a boy for a little while, I was an altar boy, and I learned the idiom, quid latificat, huge of the name, and some of the things. And I was miserable with that religion. I didn't want to go through hell to get into heaven, and the priest couldn't tell me how to be saved, and so I drifted away. And then that night I was convicted of the fact that I was not only a sinner, but a lost sinner. I had cried many times over my, because of my sin, and I had confessed my sin. So I learned that when it says, if thou wilt confess thy sin, thou art faithful. If thou wilt confess thy sin, God will be just and faithful to forgive thy sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wasn't talking to sinners, because I had done that. But I want to tell you, my dear brother, the night I was convicted of my sin and knew that I was not only a sinner, but a lost sinner, convicted by the Holy Spirit of my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I learned that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, I could go right down there and take a piece of crayon, and I could draw a circle where one night at midnight, just at the beginning of the 20th century, right before that, right before my birthday, my 23rd birthday, the 31st day of December, I passed out of death into life through faith in a crucified and resurrected Christ. As you know, that what we need is eternal life. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we do receive eternal life, as he tells us in his book, as we read in John 5:24 and John 11:25 and 26, and Colossians 2:13, and Ephesians 2:5 and 6. And then we're told in Romans 6:13 that as Christians we're alive from the dead. But I received the free gift of God, eternal life, and I passed out of death into life. My whole life was changed in a very short time. And then I went on working for the company for a while, But I was so persecuted there by the other employees with whom I had been associated and been associating and going out with them in sin that the pressure was put on me. And a friend came along and asked me how I'd like to go with him to Mexico City. So in 1900, I went up to Muskegon, Michigan and Grand Rapids to visit this man, and from there I went down to Old Mexico. I spent some months in Monterey, then I moved to Mexico City. When I got to Mexico City, I was in business, but I found out that the ambassador there, the United States ambassador, was a very warm personal friend of my father. And I went to call on him. He said, "How would you like to be my private stenographer?" So I went to work as the private stenographer and private secretary of the United States ambassador there in the city of Mexico. And I was on furlough on leave when I left there in the first week of July, when I went to the city of Kansas City, where my sweetheart had moved, and there on the 11th day of July, 1901, we were married in Kansas City. And then the Lord gave us six children. I've often given this testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ has been the solution of every problem we've ever had. Some time ago, last July, we celebrated our 54th wedding anniversary. And I thank God for the influence of my beloved wife and the fellowship that we've enjoyed together. And we thank God now that each and every child that we have and all our grandchildren, each and every one has received the Lord Jesus Christ. And up to the present time, at this time, I believe there's not one of them who is not saved. Now then, when I arrived at Kansas City, we decided not to go back to Mexico, but we went down to Louisiana. And we went down first to Texarkana, then we went down to a place called Hornbeck, and right there our first child was born. Robert was born way back in August of 1902. The next one was born. We moved to St. Louis, and there the oldest daughter, Kathleen, who now lives at Rockford, was born in 1904. We lived then at 5070 McPherson, where I was in the lumber business. And the Lord blessed me there, and I've often said this, that before I was saved, I wasn't so faithful and loyal to my employer as I was after I was saved. And the Lord blessed me, and when I was 29 years of age, I was getting a salary of about $600 a month, and that was good pay back in those days. And that year my father died at Little Rock, and he left my widowed mother, my invalid brother older than myself, two younger brothers and four sisters. And you know, for a while I was the only breadwinner in the family. And God wonderfully took care of us, and I moved the family. I had gone for 1 year over to Sedalia and came back to St. Louis. I was over at Sedalia where I built 50 houses I was developing there. I came back to St. Louis, and then when we went to move the family from Little Rock, we moved them to St. Joseph, Missouri. And in St. Joe, I built 50 houses. From St. Joe, Missouri, we moved back down to San Antonio, Texas. We arrived there on the second day of July, 1911. And in the city of San Antonio, I built about 50 houses. I told you in the beginning how the Jew who worked had gone down to Monroe, Louisiana, and how he came back to Little Rock and asked me if I'd like to go down to the Monroe to work. And you know the thing that was of interest as I look back, the several Jews who've had an influence in my life. Now, if it hadn't been for that Jew, I wouldn't have gone to Louisiana. And if I hadn't gone to Louisiana, I never would have been saved at the time I was saved in the place I was saved. And then when I lived in San Antonio, when I was building the houses there, I was also preaching as a lay preacher for the Presbytery in West Texas. And they finally said to me, "How would you like to be ordained?" And in 1916, at Lockhart, Texas, I was ordained by the West Texas Presbytery. And Brother Baker, you remember Billy Anderson, who was pastor of the First Presbyterian Church at Dallas. He's the one of the men who laid hands on me and at the time that I was ordained at Lockhart in 1916. And then I went out preaching as an evangelist and carrying on some of the business. And then I finally decided I just, like Matthew, I'd leave all to follow the Lord. And I closed up the business. And you know, the thing that helped me was this. There was another Jew came into my life. And this Jew was a very rich Jew. At that time, I had six houses under construction, and I owed about $25,000 or $30,000. And he came along, and he said, "How would you like for me to take that burden off of you?" And I said, "That'd be fine." So he came, and he paid my indebtedness, and out of it, I got several thousand dollars, and then I was free to go out in full-time service. In the meantime, there in San Antonio with a friend by the name of Elby Haynes, we were preaching to the soldiers. There are about 30,000 soldiers there, and my, some of them were in awful sin. There were hell holes and taverns and brothels and everything open. And so we began to preach on the street, corners at night and in front of the saloons, and went out where the soldier boys gathered. And, you know, the first week we were out, one night I had a Stevens DeRay car, and about 17 of those soldiers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we put them in the car, we took them to the YMCA, and that night 15 of those boys after midnight surrendered and received the Lord Jesus Christ. A regular revival broke out there. We had some interesting experiences. And one night, we were in front of the Alamo, and that was in 1917, in June. And we were holding a meeting there, and hundreds of people were there. And another Jew came along that had something to do with my life. That Jew was Joe Flax. And he came up and said to me afterwards, he said, "My, I've never seen anything just like this. How would you like to come up to Chicago and hold a meeting?" Well, I said, "I'm working here in the presbytery, and I might come up for 2 or 3 weeks." And he came home to Chicago, made arrangements, and Mr. Gosnell, who was then with the Moody Bible Institute, told Mr. Flax if he found a businessman who would like to be superintendent of men, to do what he could to get a man. So he wrote a letter to me and wrote a letter to Gosnell, and I came up and met Brother Gosnell. I want to mention that because some years later, it was Mr. Gosnell of the Moody Bible Institute who was responsible for my first visit to teach the Bible in Milwaukee in January 1924. But after I talked with Mr. Gosnell, and he found out I had several children, we did, he said that wouldn't do because he wanted me to live on the inside of the property there. And so this Jew had come back, Joe Flax, and told some of the friends in Chicago. So in August 1917, I was brought here by the church known as the Madison Street Church in Oak Park. And I held a meeting for 15 nights out in Forest Park in a tent. And I had a wonderful time of fellowship with those brethren there. And after the 15 nights, they came to me and said, "How would you like to be our pastor?" Now, I had been in 17 years in business, all but the 1 year when I was ambassador secretary in the city of Mexico. I was in the lumber business and the building business. And I went out of full-time business 1 month into the full-time ministry. I accepted that pastorate, and that meant that I gave up an income of several hundred dollars a month. I had a wife and five children, and I took the pastorate there for $150 a month. And some of my acquaintances called me a fool. I guess I was a fool for Christ's sake. But I became pastor there in the closing months of 1917. And we bought a lot there on the corner of Wisconsin and Madison from Mr. Ullman, and the Madison Street Church stands there. I'll never forget the first Sunday I preached in that place. There were about 94 members there, and every single member had a Bible. And the moment I began to preach, every Bible was open, and I found out that those people were really Bereans. And they searched the Scriptures daily, and they loved the Bible. So I was not surprised that out of that church, out of the 94, there went out 14 either pastors or pastors' wives or missionaries, 8 of them to the foreign field. It was a wonderful testimony. And I stayed there for a while, and finally I was introduced to Mel Trotter at Grand Rapids, and I used to go up there, hold meetings, and Mel asked me how I'd like to go around and visit the different missions. So I went around to the different rescue missions and had a great time for 2 years. Finally, I landed up in New York in 1923, and I was holding a meeting there. No, that was 1923 when I came back. But 1921, I was holding a meeting with A.B. Simpson, had his tabernacle, and Minardi then was the superintendent. Mr. Simpson had died, and I stayed there for 14 nights preaching. Had a wonderful time with him. And then they called him to the North Shore Church to open up. You know, upstairs they had the North Shore Church. Downstairs was a branch of the Pacific Garden Mission. It was opened up there in 1920 at Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue. So when Brother Minardi came on to Chicago, he asked me in July 1921 to come to North Shore Church there in the basement where the Pacific Garden Mission was to teach the Word of God. And I did teach there from the chart for 2 weeks. Then they asked me back there in 1922 in the summer. So in 1923, I was holding a meeting in the Far Rockaway Presbyterian Church on Long Island, and I received a telegram. "Would you be willing to become pastor of the North Shore Church?" I didn't know what I was getting into at that time, neither did the people. But I'll never forget that that was in June 1923. And on the 17th day of July 1923, I became pastor at the North Shore Church, where I have been now pastor for more than 32 years. And very interesting to me that at just 1 year from the day or from the week that I became pastor there, we had our first broadcast over our radio station. That in the 2 months after I was there, we decided to we got a license from Washington, and we got our call letters, WDDY, the people in the neighborhood, At that time, we were running all over the Bend, and the people in the neighborhood said WDBY stands for We Delight Bothering You. Well, that was the first broadcast. The 17th day of July, 1924, I became pastor. The 17th day of July, 1923. You see, July is a big month with me because it's our anniversary, July the 11th. And then I began as pastor there and then the beginning of the broadcast. And I've been pastor there for more than 32 years. I remember the night they voted for me to come as pastor. There are only about 65 people left, and they were kind of divided, 35 against 30. And I had quite a difficult time there for a while. It wasn't very easy. I remember the first night I preached there, Sunday night, there were about 66 people and about $3.70 in the offering. But by the grace of God, we've been able to continue there, and the Lord has wonderfully blessed. And we thank God for the many that have been saved there and the many who've been saved through our radio ministry during all these years. Now, concerning Milwaukee, I had a friend up here in the Perseverance Church.